Thanks very much for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin. This is Like It Is. Today, part two of my conversation with Grammy Award winner Bobby Rush. Rush shared thoughts on a wide range of topics.
Mississippi never been as bad as people perceive it to be, because the seed was planted that Mississippi was the worst place you could ever be from or go to. But that was a time and place in where people wanted to, for whatever reason, didn't want you to think bad about Mississippi. There were other places, the South Carolinas and the Michigan and whatever, were just as worse, but it seemed like they wanted to paint a picture on Mississippi. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be talked about like that. All I'm saying, they're not the only state in the world that do the thing that they do. But even they did what they did, it seemed to be getting better and doing what they do. That's what I'm grateful about. Because it's a poor dog don't wag his own tail. It's a poor man who don't learn and change. So Mississippian is doing better. For me, on a personal tip, the politician and the people of Mississippi, city councilman, lieutenant governor, and people all in position in the political world, I really embrace Bobby Rush and people like myself. Not only just me, people like myself. This is a state where the blues was originated from. If you follow the blues, even though the guy was in Chicago recording, if you could record in California, if you follow the track like a rabbit, you'll trace them right back to Mississippi. So that tells me that Mississippi is the root of the blues. And they know it now, and they began to do something about it by talking about it. And the people on the outside of the state now begin to realize Mississippi have something going for themselves. One thing is the blues, is the music. And they begin to treat people better, regardless of the color of your skin, your race or religion or what have you. And my hat's off, not because I live in Mississippi, because it's the truth of the matter, in Mississippi is doing better. And for me, I recommend you, if you haven't been to Mississippi, come to Mississippi. Get a taste of the root. Get a taste of the blues. And when you get to Mississippi, you probably will hear this. Welcome.
All right. I could take a little bit more of that. That is great. That's heartfelt, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's a Southern thing, I'll tell you. But yeah, the blues sets well with any music lover anywhere. I'm always interested, Mr. Rush, about when you perform with other performers. If you care to share some memorable experiences with some of the legendary musicians that you've performed with, and if there are any that sticks out in your mind.
Yeah, they all stick out. When I perform on the stage with B.B. King, Albert King, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, all the guys I've been in chahoot with. When I was a young man, I took it for granted. I didn't take it seriously about who I was around. I took a Muddy Waters. I remember Muddy Waters invited me to his birthday parties. I was just a teenager. He took a liking to me, and I thought he was an old man. He was old. He was 28, 29 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. He invited me to his birthday party when he was 29 years old. It was the Civics Club, and I forgot to go to his birthday party. So when I got to the birthday party, it was about 10:30, quarter to 11. He looked out the window. He said, "The party's over, blood. Come on around to the back. I got a lot of ladies up here." He did. Had about 15 or 20 ladies up. They all were set up there with the dress up and see everything but the Mississippi River. But there was old ladies. And I asked one, "How old is she?" "I'm 28. I asked the other lady, "She's 31. The other lady said, "I'm 36. 36 years old. I sneaked out the back door and left Muddy Waters. The old lady, 30-something years old. Now, I was a teenager, and I left Muddy. I laugh about that now, but look how I took it for granted. Like I gonna be young forever, that low 30-something years old. I thought that was old. But I think about how crazy I was, but Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Lightnin' Hawk, and all the guys, John Lee Hooker, all the guys all around all of my life were so crazy about me. Now here I am, the old man. I got young guys coming up to me and say, hey, Bobby Rush, I want to do this record with you. Had a guy that called me the other day, a rapper, you know, Snoop Dogg and all the guys. When I come around, they just sit around my feet and talk to me because all the rappers like what I'm going on. I was rapping before the rapper was born, you know? And I wasn't for, in fact, and I tell all of them all the time, James Brown and I started a rap thing. We were rapping before the rappers thought about being rappers. And if it wasn't for Bobby Rush, probably wouldn't be no 50 cent, be a dime a quarter, something like that. let me say, I know we've been in this interview for a hot minute, but let me say before we get too far in there. Robert, let me thank you for what you have done. Let me thank you for what you've done, because what you say about me, what people perceive me to be. So thank you for what you have done. Your input on the blues, on the music, because not because I'm a blues singer, but the roots of blues and the music from the blues, and the blues is the mother to all music. If you don't like the blues, you probably don't like your mama.
Well, you know that. That was the old expression, the blues had a baby and named it rock and roll.
Yeah. Rock and roll had a baby and named it acid, whatever, you know. But it all comes from the blues and gospel and music. And I'm not saying it just because I'm Mississippi, but it's the truth is the fact that this is it. And I want people to know, I'm glad we're talking about Mississippi, because Mississippi got a bad name of having a reputation of doing things under the current, just not too cool to do. With the racial stuff, the black and white issues, that happened not only just Mississippi, a lot of places. But thank God, it's getting better and better and better. And my granddaddy said, "Getting gooder and gooder." But I'm just so thankful that we can talk about Mississippi now on a different level we could many, many years ago. Because Mississippi comes to light, and this accolade they give me, all the accolades they give me from Mississippi, for all the political peoples, all the peoples in position, all the fans and friends who honor me for different things in this life musically, and naming a street after me here in Jackson, Mississippi. Now they name a street after me in Homer, Louisiana, Haynesville, Louisiana, and they honored me for different other part of the country. And now, and this coming September, on September the 20th in Greenville, Mississippi, they got a big roast for Bobby Rush. I don't know what they're going to do or talk about. Probably throw me under the bus. But nevertheless, they're doing it, and I appreciate the effort and the thing they're doing to try to bring a light to my life and talk about me, and hopefully that bring more fans to the base to what I do and what I've done. They named a street after me, and they're going to give me a roast. They're going to talk good about me, hopefully. They may talk bad about me, but nevertheless, probably all of the above is the truth.
Well, I want to talk about your audience and your fans and how your audience, if it has changed, how has it changed? Or is that audience pretty much consistent?
No, my audience had got bigger and had changed. For the last past 7 or 8 years, maybe 10 years, I kind of crossed over, done a lot of acoustic thing with my guitar, and I got a lot of white fans now, what I didn't have back in the day. But yet I'm probably one of the few musicians or entertainers have crossed over, but I haven't crossed out. I'm known with black and white. There's a few artists I could name you that known by the white audience. They don't know about black audience. There was a few guys I knew about black audience, and the white people didn't know it. Give you an example. The Tyrone David, the Johnny Taylor, never were known by white, but black audience. But Bobby Ray sat in a place where white know me as well as black. I'm a blessed man to do that and be in this position. I just don't know what happened I didn't burn bridges that brought me across. I'm still doing shows by myself with the band. Still doing show with Buddy Guy, who's my best friend. Done show with Kenny Wayne Shepherd, who's a white guy. Done show with North Mississippi All-Stars, which is a white group. I'm not talking about that so much better, but we are doing things together and making a statement that we can live together, we can work together and make a better world out of what we live, a better place out of what we live. This is what it is. Because someone asked me, said, Bobby Rush, so why do you sing the blues? Is it because your woman left you? Well, Robert, I can tell you this. Yes. You can have the blues when your woman leave you. But Robert, you can have the blues if your woman stay too long. Let me show you what I mean about that.
Okay.
Have you ever been mistreated by someone you showed up love? Have you ever been mistreated by someone you showed up love? Out of all of me and my woman could have left me far. She left me for the garbage man. No matter how bad she treated me, still can't get out of my mind. No matter how bad she treated me, still can't get out of my mind. Every time I see a garbage can, I think about her and the garbage man all the time. And that's the blues for you.
All right, all right. Absolutely. The blues, as only he can perform it, Bobby Rush is graciously inviting me to his home here in Jackson, Mississippi. I am so thrilled to be in person with the band himself. He is so generous with his time, and I so appreciate your time.
Well,
Mr.
you're
Rush.
Welcome, Robert. Thank you so much.
You mentioned Buddy Guy, your best friend. Yeah. Talk about Buddy Guy. I know you performed with him recently, but talk a bit about Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy is my best friend, one of two oldest guys in the world. He and I get together. We were talking the other day about his age and my age and Willie Nelson. We three are the oldest guys. He's country western, but the guy's a blues, un-blues, funk, whatever you want to call me. But we all up there in age, and we talk about the three oldest guys in the world, and we laugh about it. He don't feel as good sometimes. I don't either. Probably we all don't feel as well a lot of times that we want to feel. But I respect Buddy Guy so highly. He's one of the best business men that I ever been around in this blues business. He has a club called Legend in Chicago, been had it for many, many years. He a good businessman. He plays the blues and he played well. Associate well, and he speak well about others around him. And he and I have been knowing each other since 1957. That's a long time. From the same home state, doing a lot of show together. Our plan is to do a lot of things together next year. We already talking about the shows. I'm also planning to do a lot of dates with the Mississippi All-Stars. And I just cut 12 or 13 songs with Kenny Wayne Shepherd from the same home state also, Louisiana. Young man who plays the blues and played well. Soulful. We just recorded some stuff and we're not talking about the title of the album just yet, but we got something in mind. The next month or two, we have it all lined up, what we're going to name it. But the record been recorded, been cut already. We all for happy about it. It's God. I'm just in the air about what we've done. So next year, we got a big tour planned for that. We got a big tour planned for Mississippi All-Star and Buddy Guy. Then I got some solo stuff that I'm doing, five different countries, from England to London to France to Egypt to Africa, Italy, on all over. Because I have cut this thing out for myself many, many years ago. And I'm so blessed to be here to do it. Hopefully God will give me the strength and health enough a body to get up and do what I need to do. He will see me through to make some more years in this business to do what I love to do and enjoying what I'm doing and finally make a little money doing it. Robert, you know, when people look at what you do, Robert, and what I do, when they hear you on the radio or your voice and your TVs or what have you in the interview, they think you're rich and making $1 million. You might be, but
not quite.
It ain't just like that.
Absolutely.
Robert, it ain't just like that. It's a many time that I wanted to work and everybody made money but me. I slept in my car on side of the road in an empty building, empty club, all the night in my van, all night in my car, in the cold, up, down, heat. I've been there and done that. I'm telling you now, I'm not above none of that to do it again. But I'm hoping and praying that I won't have to go through those things anymore. Not only I won't have to go through that, I'm trying to put myself in a position so my family and my children, grandkids, great-grandkids won't have to do what I have done. But I want them to have the value of life and work, because you can't get out of work. Because life and work come with it all. Because when you can't, it don't come on a silver plate. Life itself. But I want them to know about that. But I don't want them to go through the struggle and the hard time that I had to go through. Because you got the radio station now. We play the blues. But you got the radio station don't really play the blues anymore. When you go to the blues club, sometimes they have the title of the blues and playing everything but the blues.
You shared an interesting story with me on one of our previous conversations about your trip to China. Would you share that again?
Yeah, how'd China come by? China wanted to represent all countries, and they chose me to represent the U.S. and the blues. So when they came to me, they said, well, I guess they had offered the other guys, the rock and rollers, more money than they offered me. They come to me like the blues were less than something else. Said, well, we got a slot for the blues, but we don't have any money for it. We got, I don't know what it was, very low in pay, few thousand dollars. That's all we can pay. I said, I would take the deal if you listen to what I want out of the deal. They said, okay, what you want out of the deal? I said, I pray free if you give me all the rights to everything that I do. Okay. They didn't think I was going. So I hired me a crew, went over to China, filmed everything that I did, now own the footage of it. Now the furniture is worth a mint. But I did it free.
There you go.
But they kind of put a stumbling block in my way for a minute. But I own it. I own the masters of it.
Ownership has its privileges.
So I believe in that. I gave you three guesses and the first two don't count.
Well, I know your time is very valuable, and I'm winding down.
But let me say before you move from that, let me tell you, I laughed about that. I don't want this interview to go up that I'm laughing about what I did in China. I want to know how, I want you to know that how graceful I am, because they embrace me. And that's something that Chinese people do not do. They'll take a bow to you, but they embrace me as one of their brothers. They look through me, through my skin, through who I am, what I do. They're really taking me in. Now I have a statement on the walls of China, my writing, what I think freedom is, on the walls of China, in my handwriting. They wanted two people to do that, myself and Martin Luther King, and I was the one did it. So when you go to China Wall, Bobby Rush singing too, what is freedom to you, Bobby Rush, is written on the wall.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary. Yeah. And historic as well.
Yeah. They wanted me to write it in my own sense of thoughts and way I wanted to write it. And I did just that.
Much like your music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much like your music.
Yeah, I talked about in my music about I met this girl, she getting kind of fat. Well, it's all right if you like it like that.
Different strokes of different folks. Is there a performer that you have not performed with, but that you wish to perform with?
Who's that? Stevie Wonder. No doubt about it. But he respects me, and I respect him. We crossed each other path, but never had a chance to be on the same stage. Yeah, I love that. I just love what Stevie do. You know, I got people that I love, and Stevie Harvey is one of them who I respect so highly. Oprah Winfrey, who I respect so highly. You know, Steve Harvey. These guys I looked up to because they're such smart men and did so well financially, and they made some good choices in life about what they made choices about, and it seemed to work for them, and it enthused me. You asked me earlier, what enthused you? Just some of the things enthused me. A lot of guys who came up before me, the Ray Charles and came up along with me, the Little Richard, who I looked at them, saw some mistake they made, but I learned from their mistake so I wouldn't make the same mistakes. Now, one of them was giving my rights away. Part of them was didn't get strung out with on drugs. I did have a beer in 1957 with Muddy Water, three of them. I never had one before or since in my life. Never smoked a cigarette, never got high. I got so many other things wrong with me now. You know, so many other things wrong with me. Still look at big leg ladies and they'll kill you just like whiskey. You know, yeah. But I laugh about that. So I'm not talking about I'm so good and so right. I just, some of the things didn't take me out. And here I am. I think what hurt me most is that I wanted something that most of the promoters and record company couldn't maneuver and use me like they wanted to use me. And they kind of walked by me. But now, God have brightened my brains up. I'm a little cunning now. I'm kind of foxy, like a fox. I'm a little sly. I know how to get through the door, but not telling you that I'm not going to do something. What I have learned is what my granddaddy taught me. If a man asks you to pick up a hot heater, don't say you won't, just don't.
Good advice.
And my grandmother said, son, beware of a bear walking around with a monkey's head. So there I am.
I'm thrilled. I can invite you to play a number or share a musical tune as we wrap up.
I leave you, I'm going to get this kind of setting because I'm kind of inclined of how things work like that. Thank you. my granddaddy waited. Grandmama waited too. Martin Luther King waited. Tell me, what about me and you? If you confused, talk about my 40 acres and my mule. Sometimes I wonder what's gonna happen to me when I get too old. Sometimes I wonder what's gonna happen to me when I get too old. Will you take me in your house? Or would you just throw me out door? Sometimes I wonder why the world don't treat me right. Sometimes I wonder why the world just don't treat me right. Is it because I sing the blues? Is it because I'm black?
All right. How to end the program, my man, the one and only Bobby Rush, Grammy Award winner 2024. Mr. Rush, it's an honor. It's my privilege, and I'm blessed to have had this opportunity to talk with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. God bless you and all my friends and fans out there. Keep it up. Don't say you won't do what you won't do or can't do. Don't worry about the black and white issue. What you have to do is go out and vote, because that's matter most.
Thank you, sir. My guest today was the amazing musical performer, Bobby Rush. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.